All right. So I have not watched these videos, so I don't know if anyone's long-winded tonight. But I told them to stay within 3 to 5 minutes, so hopefully they did. But I know you will be blessed. So our first person that's going to share tonight about what the resurrection means to them is going to be Justin Reyes. He is one of our worship leaders. He also leads our high school ministry, and just a great young guy and young man. He ministers to your kids. So be blessed as he shares what the resurrection means to him.
Hi, everybody. Glad we could do this still. I hope everybody's staying safe during these COVID-19 times. But just blessed that I get the opportunity to speak about what the resurrection means to me. It could mean a lot of things. There's just really too many things to talk about concerning the fact that Jesus is risen, that he did rise, that he's not dead. It's just a lot of things. But there are two particular things in my life that are important to me at this moment. The circumstances of life make different aspects of the Lord's grace appear more beautiful at different times, and in this particular time I want to focus on these two parts about that come to mind when I think of the resurrection. And the first is that Jesus, having risen from the dead, ascended on high, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us forever. He is our high priest, and he is our advocate before the Father. And this is just such a wonderful comfort to me. It's something that I need every day, because I am reminded every day of my frailty, of my weakness, of my incapability. I struggle with pride, I struggle with laziness, I struggle with impure thoughts and things. There are things that, you wake up with and you're like, why am I still struggling with these things? And the wonderful, wonderful thing about Jesus being alive is that he lives to make intercession for us. And he comes before the Father as our advocate. 1 John 2 tells us this. He says that even if you do sin, you have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ, who is the propitiation for our sins. He sits on our behalf, always knowing how difficult it is for us, and always being on our side and offering grace and interceding and just standing before God the Father for us. And I can't think of anything better, can't think of anything more necessary than having him do that, because I really, if it was just up to me coming to the Father, that would just be so desperately messed up. But the other thing that is really incredible to me about the resurrection is that the Spirit of God came to us when Jesus was ascended. He told his disciples that it would be better for them if he left, because then the Comforter could come. And man, that's just incredible. Because the same Spirit that raised God from the dead, the same Spirit that made all of creation, the same Spirit that enabled Jesus to live a perfect life, is actually with me all the time now, because Jesus has gone on high and gifted me with the Spirit. And I tell you, in light of the incapability that I have, that I spoke of before, it's the perfect answer to that, right? That God would fill me with himself, so that way I wouldn't have to do this by myself. I wouldn't have to try to be a servant to the Lord by myself. Even as I want to be a willing servant now in light of his great love for me, I still find within myself an incapability to do the things that the Lord wants me to do. I can't love the way He wants me to love. I can't be patient the way He wants me to be patient. I can't see past the physical, material world around me with the success that I need to be able to focus on the Lord. But by the Spirit and by Him speaking always, every day into my life and reminding me of the Lord and teaching me how to live and empowering me, you know, I can walk with the Lord. I can remain faithful to the Lord. You know, my entire walk with Him is so dependent on the Spirit being in my life. And so I'm just so grateful that the Lord did ascend on high and did gift us with His Spirit. So these are the two things that I'm most appreciative of in this time about the resurrection, that Jesus always makes intercession for me now, and that He's gifted us with His Spirit. So I hope that blesses you. Take care. Hope to see you all soon.
Amen. Amen. What a good testimony. Well, our next person to share is going to be Janelle Bresnik. Janelle has been our missions director for many years, and so be blessed as she shares what the resurrection means to her.
Hey, there we are. Hey, everybody. Ooh, wow. I need to get my roots done. Anyway, how's everybody doing? I hope you're doing well. I look forward to seeing you all again soon. So I'm doing the resurrection thing tonight, and I had to ask myself this week several times, what does the resurrection mean to me? Because I had a difficult time this year. Every year I try to think about it, and I usually have a really great answer. But this year was blank, nothing. So I've been in prayer, and the Lord just showed me that, hey, you've been distracted. And I have been distracted. I've been distracted by my job, by my family, by life, by everything. And you throw in a pandemic, it's pretty distracting times. And what I realize in that distraction is that I have been complacent with the gift of the resurrection. And it is a gift. For the Christian, when we think about the resurrection, these are the words that should come to mind. Power, purpose, victory, eternal life, hope, peace, comfort, joy. Nowhere in there do I see the word complacency. You know, we can get so used to the fact that Christ died for us, it can become so common that it loses its authority and power in our lives. But the resurrection, it should do several things in our lives. It should give us power. Philippians 3 tells us that the righteousness we gain through knowing Christ involves also knowing the power of His resurrection. It should compel us to love. 1 Corinthians 5 says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again." You know, the resurrection should just overjoy us. There are so many scriptures about joy, but the mere fact that Romans tells us that we are united in Christ's death and life, and that we are freed from sin, I tell you, if that doesn't give you joy, nothing will. Now, the resurrection, it should overjoy us, it should compel us, it should drive us forward and expand our heart for the lost. It should remind us of our purpose here on earth and that we only have a short time here. You know, the resurrection, it should cast out all fear. Remember, we're taken care of by the one who conquered death. It should humble us and give us such thankfulness that we walk in gratitude without a single complaint passing our lips. You know, this year, the resurrection for me means an awakening, a revival, a new look at a very foundational truth. So I'm asking God to let it sink in deeply and to have its way in my life. And I hope you'll join me. Happy Resurrection Day.
Amen. Amen. What a good blessing. Good encouragement, good exhortation, good reminder. So, well, our next person who's going to share is going to be Jim Cattleman. And Jim has served as a member of our church board for many years, has been a leader here for many years. So I trust you'll be blessed as he shares what the resurrection means to him as well.
Okay, Calvary Chapel Church. This is Jim Cattleman. This is about take five. And one thing I learned in doing this on my phone is that it's really creepy if you do this with your screen facing you and then you look up to try to make eye contact with the audience. And instead, you're looking at yourself, talking to yourself. So we're going to try it the other way around and hope I've centered myself well in the screen. Anyway, when I was talking about, thinking about the resurrection, what it means to me, I was drawn to the very first statement that Jesus made about his resurrection, at least the first one I could find. And that's in John chapter 2. He's pretty much starting his public ministry, and he's at Jerusalem for the Passover, and he drives all the money changers out of the temple. And so the religious leaders there, they confront him. They say, show us a sign. What gives you the right to do the things that you're doing? Basically, they are asking Jesus, what is your authority for this? And his response was really interesting to me. He says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. He's basically referring to his resurrection. That's my authority. It's a bold statement, and they remembered it, and Jesus meant for them to remember it. 3 years later, when he was on trial, that was part of the indictment against him. When he was on the cross, they taunted him with it. You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourselves. Save yourself. Of course, they misunderstood it. His own disciples didn't understand it until he rose again. But Jesus was not talking about the temple building as a statement of his authority to tear it down and rebuild it in 3 days. That would have been too easy, too small. He was talking about his own body. The question that he was answering to those religious leaders is still being asked today of the Lord. Who do you think you are? What gives you the right to tell me what to do? Who died and made you boss? Jesus, his answer to that question is, my resurrection is my authority. Nicodemus said to Jesus, you are a teacher come from God. No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. That, again, is too small of a statement. Jesus is saying with his resurrection, no one can die, be in the grave for 3 days, and then rise again, but God himself. And if what Jesus said about his resurrection is true, and it is true, everything else that Jesus said about himself is also true. Jesus said that all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And his authority in the resurrection is, he's in total control. No one takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. His resurrection is the ultimate statement that Jesus is in charge of all things and at all times. This is important to me because I need to remember that. I need to hear it, and I believe we need to be saying that to each other all the time. The Lord is on the throne. He's in control. He's in authority, even when we're in the midst of this big mess. The world we live in is full of uncertainty. This year, it looked like it was going to be full of upheaval and conflict and change, even before this virus ever broke loose. For me, I need to dwell on the fact that the Lord is on the throne and that he's in control and that he has all authority in heaven and on earth. He made that promise concerning his resurrection that if he lives, we who believe in him will have everlasting life. And I have the assurance that because he kept that promise, he's going to keep every promise that he made to me and to you. That's why the resurrection is so important. It's the seal and the assurance and the proof that Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. And that's what I can rest in. Thank you. Have a great evening, Calvary Chapel.
Amen. Amen. What powerful truths. Huge blessing. Well, our next person who's going to share is Casey Scott, and she serves on our women's leadership team. And I know you'll be blessed as she shares what the resurrection means to her.
Hey, everyone. I'm so glad to be able to share with you tonight on what the resurrection means to me. I'm sad that we can't be there together physically, but I'm thankful for the technology that we can still share. I grew up going to church and learning about Jesus and I gave my life to him and put my faith and trust in him as a little girl. And I'm so thankful for that and how he has kept me all of these years. What a beautiful testimony of his love and grace and mercy in my life. In human eyes and standards, some would say that that kind of testimony isn't quite as powerful or dramatic, but the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And my sin was just as ugly and separated me from God, and I needed a Savior. And I'm so thankful that Jesus came and lived that perfect life, and that he humbled himself to death, even death on a cross. I'm thankful for his sacrificial life and the perfect example that he is, and that even though he died on that cross, that he rose again. And everything that was said in the Bible, because he rose again, was true. If he didn't rise again, it would all be meaningless. All of these years that I've served the Lord, it would have been meaningless. It would have been vain words and just a waste of time. But I'm thankful that it's true and that we can all celebrate in that, in the truth of the word and the truth of who he says he is and what he's still doing. And so I'm so thankful for his grace and mercy in my life, and that we have victory in our lives because of him. And that when we come together and we sing to him and we worship and we pray and we encourage one another and love one another, that it's not in vain, and that we serve a living God, and that we can live such lives to glorify him because of his grace and mercy. It's just mind-blowing, really. One thing that the resurrection means to me as well, that ties in with all of that, is the body of Christ and how he made a way for all of us to come to him. And that I have this beautiful Calvary Chapel Orlando family that I love and miss so much. And it's hard to watch the live stream sometimes because I'm standing there crying and missing everyone. And so I am so thankful for each and every one of you. And because of the resurrection, you all get to be part of these things and the hope that I have. And I get to share it with all of you, and the joy that I have in my life and the encouragement and the love that Jesus has for each of us, and that we can show one another in this lonely and hopeless world. And in these times of quarantine, that we can still feel connected and loved, and know that we have people that have our backs, that are praying for us, that we have people that are willing to drive and help us out to meet our needs. And I'm just so thankful for Jesus and for you and the work he's doing in all of our lives. And I pray that you all stay well and that you keep in touch. And I hope to see you real soon. Bye.
Amen. We serve a living God, a risen Savior. One of the things I pray for my kids every night is I say, God, please show them that you're real. Show them that this isn't just a religious thing. Let them see it in my life. Let them see it as they see your word being fulfilled. So we serve a living God. Amen. The next person who's going to share with us is going to be Leah Borkin. And Leah is helps with her husband in the junior high ministry and also with the home group in Apopka. So I know you'll be blessed as Leah Borkin shares what the resurrection means to her.
Hi, I'm Leah Borkin. And what does the resurrection mean to me? So many things come to mind, but specifically this Bible verse dropped in my mind, and it was Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The part of that scripture that jumps out at me is, for the joy that was set before him, knowing that we were that joy. We were that joy set before him. And that humbles me very much, the fact that we are his joy, that he decided to sacrifice everything for us to sit here today and have all the blessings that we don't deserve, to be able to have a fulfilled life that we can only dream of, that he made happen. And that is what the resurrection means to me, that Christ gave everything up so that we could be with him, and that he could sit at the right hand of God and know that he sacrificed everything so we could join and be there with him. And I'm very grateful that he did, and that we have my family and all the blessings that he's given us. I have so many, and I just don't want to take up the time listing everything that he's done for us. But sitting here today, and especially with things in this world the way they are, knowing that at the end of the day, what matters is that we are sons and daughters of God. And yeah, so that's it.
Amen, amen. Well, the next person who's going to share is going to be Paul Borken. Paul leads our junior high ministry and also the Apopka Home Fellowship. And so I know you'll be blessed as he shares what the resurrection means to him.
Hi, I'm Paul Borken, and I'm here to talk to you guys about what the resurrection means to me. You know, I'm a pretty literal person at times, and when I look at the definition of what resurrection means, it means the state of one being risen from the dead. You know, and it makes me think of the scripture and where Paul writes. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And in another area of scripture, Paul the Apostle also, you know, talks about how we need to continually cast off the old man and put on the new man, which is in Christ. And for a lot of you guys know essentially a bit of my background. And for me, what the resurrection means is even just the life I have today, the life that I know is coming, you know, the life that the Lord has promised us in heaven. And you guys know, as I said, a little bit of my background, you know, coming from a family who was involved with drugs. It was in and out of DCF constantly, which is the Department of Children and Family. I was placed in many temporary homes and many foster homes. And over time, it wears on you. And all that happened even before I was at the age of 11. And just thinking back and looking back on that, you know, the old man, the person that I should be statistically, is not the one I am today. Statistically, I shouldn't be so wonderfully blessed to be married to a wonderful woman, a wonderful godly woman. I shouldn't be blessed to have a child of my own. You know, the statistics were not in my favor on that. The statistics say that I should, you know, be a drug addict, that I should also be a physical abuser, that I should be all these things, you know, that the world had created for that old man, that old Paul. And, you know, looking at my life today, looking at all the wonderful blessings that the Lord has poured out on me, and I see the wonderful power of his resurrection in my life. I see the wonderful power of resurrection in the life of those around me, and some of my family members, you know. And I definitely see, you know, the aspect of where, you know, Paul says that we are a new creation, that we cast off that old man, because, you know, one of the things that used to be able to do very well was kind of put on a mask, put on this happy face for those around me. Because, you know, I never wanted them to see how truly hurt I was. But I know, you know, in the Lord that I don't have to wear that mask. He's taken that away from me. He's given me a new purpose, a new life, and that's to live for him. You know, and I hope that each and every day that the Lord has blessed me with this life, that I am able to live it unto him, that I'm able to honor him, that I'm able to glorify him and just bring wonderful, joyous, just a sweet aroma to his nose, you know, with my life. So, in a sense that, you know, that's basically it. Thank you.
The power of the resurrection life, changing our lives from the old to the new. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Well, the next person who's going to share is going to be Rhonda Avila. And many of you have kids already know that Rhonda runs our children's ministry. She's a huge blessing to our church, and I know you'll be blessed as well as she shares what the resurrection means to her.
At this time in my life, when I think what the resurrection means to me and the new life that I have in Christ, I think of one word, and that's family. The Lord saved me when I was 16 years old. And for the first time in my life, I felt unconditional love for me and for others. I loved my mom and dad and my sisters and my brother. That lasted about 2 weeks. But the Lord is faithful, even when we are faithless. So at the age of 21, he drew me back to himself and placed me in the family of God. I found that no matter where I went, and still no matter where I go, I have family. I have brothers and sisters in Christ. It might be the grocery store or another state, even in another country where we don't speak the same language, we have family. And then we have you, the church family. Mikey and I have been around here for quite a few years now. We've seen the ups and downs and ins and outs of church life, and we love you. We've seen the Lord working in you and through you to bless us and to bless others. But lastly, and not least, is my family that Mikey and I have together. We have four wonderful children, and I love them each so very much. They are my strength, my smile, my heart, and my friends. We laugh together, fight together, eat together, get in trouble together, and just share heartwarming moments together. They've given me three beautiful daughter-in-laws, and they are real God's girls. And then there's Garrett, Jennifer's sweetheart. He's a very kind and gentle man, and he's a blessing too. The greatest of all is my six grandchildren. I love them, pray for them, that they will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. My hope and prayer is that we will all spend eternity together. So on this Resurrection Sunday, the one word that sums it all up for me is family. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Great testimony. Can't wait for the family to be back together again. So the next person I'm going to share is Chris Priestler, and Chris heads up our Helping Hands ministry. He's been a huge blessing to the community. A lot of times he's doing stuff outside of when he's here at the church, and we're blessed that he leads that, him and his team. So let's hear what the Lord has to say through him and what the resurrection means to him.
Hi, church. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris Priestler, Crispy for short. What the resurrection means to me. Upon reflection about the idea of the resurrection, I had written down some notes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, but I'll get to that in a minute. First, I want to tell you a story. It starts out about a little Jewish girl about the age of 8. She was looking through the lattice curtains of her living room when she noticed how intricate the detail was and thought that someone much bigger and smarter than herself must have designed and made such intricate detail. Just then, sunlight had come through those windows, and she looked outside at the sky and the clouds. A thought had entered into her mind. Someone much bigger and smarter than herself must have designed and created the sky, the sun, and the earth. She came to the conclusion, there must be a God. Now, time had passed, and this Jewish girl grew. But not really knowing anything about religion, because her dad was Jewish, but her mom was Catholic, who later became Jewish by conversion. They didn't teach religion in their home, although they celebrated both the Jewish holidays and Christmas and Easter. As she grew in her late teens and early 20s, she developed a mental illness called schizophrenia, a mental health disorder that showed her demon faces in the form of hallucinations and made her think that she was in an army that really didn't exist. She struggled with her disease for over a decade, and during this time, she had been in and out of hospitals, but she did manage to finish high school and was taking college classes at the community college. Now, this is where I met her. I worked in the disability support services, where I helped people with disabilities find not only academic support, but also encouragement to succeed despite their disabilities. She had come one or two semesters, and then all of a sudden she disappeared for almost a year. On her 29th birthday, she developed a rare respiratory disease called ARDS, acute respiratory distress syndrome. She went to the hospital and was immediately put on a ventilator through a tracheotomy in a hole in her throat. Her lungs filled up with fluid so fast that they had to put drainage tubes in both her lungs so that she wouldn't drown in her own mucus. She went into a coma for 5 weeks, and during that time she developed a blood infection called DIC, and the prognosis was not good. Toward the end of the 5 weeks, the doctors told her parents and her two brothers and two sisters that she would not survive, and they should probably say their goodbyes before it was too late. Now, as I mentioned, the family was brought up in a home that didn't teach religion. In Jewish tradition, if the mother is not Jewish, then the kids are not Jewish. If they want to be Jewish, they have to convert later on. Now, her father was very Jewish, and he prayed for her and his whole family while she lay in a hospital bed. Now, every Jewish prayer starts with the words, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Kolam. Now, Baruch Atah Adonai means blessed are you, Lord. But the word Adonai is pronounced Adonai, but it actually is the word YHVH. It's where we get the word Yahweh or Jehovah. It's the unique name of God. So they're saying, blessed are you, and using the name of God. And the next word is Eloheinu, which means our personal, one and only true God. And then finally, Melech Kolam, which means Melech means king, and Ha'alom means the universe or the cosmos. So they're saying all of creation within every Jewish blessing, they're saying the name of God, our personal eternal God, is king or sovereign of the universe. So he prayed to the king of all creation in the name of God for healing for his daughter. Now, on the other hand, her oldest brother said a simpler prayer. He just said, Jesus, if you are who you say you are, please heal my sister, and I will follow you all the rest of my days. He too was saying the same thing. The Hebrew word for Jesus is YHV, and then the letter Shin, and then Ua, which is where we get the word Joshua from. But the first three letters are YHV. It's the name of God. And Shenua means saves. So it's the name of God saves. That's our Savior. The name of God saves. Now, she recovered and was healed from her respiratory problems, ARDS, and the blood clotting problems, the DIC, and even her schizophrenia was healed. And I believe it was because her mind had 5 weeks of a coma to rest and a lot of prayer. So what does the resurrection mean to me? Well, if we look at the Gospel of John, chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. all things were made by him. Now we're still talking about the Word. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. We're still talking about the Word. And the life was the light of men. The Word contains life and is light to our mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now it says in verse 11 that the Word came unto his own, but his own received him not. When did the Word come to his own? Well, first, it happened at Mount Sinai. They told Moses, "You go up for us." Then throughout history, they rejected the Word so many times that it was impossible to count. But it goes on to say, but as many as received him. Okay, we're still talking about the Word. Some people believe that this is only referring to Christians that received him. But the text is talking about the Word of God. So those Jews that received and believed the Word, to them, as well as us, he gave the power, the dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite from. To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So the power of God is given through and by the Word of God in order to become sons and daughters of God. Now it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Word of God is alive and powerful. Again, powerful is that same word, dunamis, where we get dynamite from. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division between soul and spirit, and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. So what does the resurrection mean to me? It is the power, the dynamite, to pierce any heart. It's the power, the dynamite, to transform people into sons and daughters of God. It's the power, the dynamite, to break down barriers, to heal the sick, like that little Jewish girl who gave her life to God and then became my wife, to make the blind to see, and to make the lame to walk. And it is the power, the dynamite, to bring life back from the death. Now, some of you may know that I work with the Helping Hands Ministry. I get to witness firsthand the power of God's Word to transform people with new life by the power of God's Word. A life to serve our risen King and Lord. Now John ends this section about the Word by saying, in verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as to the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word took on human form. The power that created the universe now lived inside one person. The person with the name God Saves. The person we know as Jesus. The power of the Word brought back to life our personal, one and only, Melech Kolon, King of the Universe. And what does the resurrection mean to me? Share the Word of God with others and see for yourself the resurrection power of God's Word.
Amen, amen. Personal testimony of resurrection power. Awesome. Well, the next person who's going to share is Eric Thurber. And Eric leads our Southwest Home Fellowship in Winter Garden. And I know you'll be blessed as he shares what the resurrection means to him.
Good evening, everyone. Happy Resurrection Sunday to you. He is risen. Praise God. What a great day it is to worship the Lord. So what the resurrection means to me, Lord spoke to me out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as Paul was writing about the resurrection. As I was praying and seeking him about what does it mean? What does it mean to me? There's so many wonderful things that the resurrection means and what the purpose behind it and everything. And but what does it mean to me, God, personally? What do you want to speak to me about? And he really just kind of put this one thought and idea over and over again on my heart from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as Paul is writing. You know, he says down in verse 17, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. And that verse has a new meaning as you look. We started going through the book of Ecclesiastes in the Winter Garden Home Fellowship group. And you look at that book and you see the pursuit of a man who is trying to find purpose in life apart from God. And it's an incredibly depressing perspective on life. And yet that is what life is. If I don't have Christ and if Christ is not risen, that is ultimately what life is. That is, my faith is purposeless. There is no purpose to my faith if Christ is not risen. And even more than that, not just does my life not have purpose, but I'm still in my sins. I don't have any power to overcome it. I won't have any victory over it. There is no eternity. There is no freedom. There is no liberty. There is no, I'm still a slave. I am still a slave of my sin and living in it. And that's it. That's as good as it's going to get for me if Christ has not risen from the grave. And if that's all there is, then there's a reason, you know, that Paul can then again, then say a few verses later, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, that we of all men are the most pitiable. Like, we are out here sharing the gospel and proclaiming this hope of, and the promise of eternal life that Christ has given us. But if Christ hasn't even risen, then we should be pitied because we're just giving people false hope, and that hope is only in this life. It has nothing to do with eternal life and our, you know, eternal state, whatever the case may be. It's completely purposeless. And so ultimately, it kind of just all boils down to this one thought of what the resurrection means to me is, my life has purpose. That, as again, Paul writes in another book, that whether you eat or drink or whatever you do it all to the glory of God. And so every single little thing that I do throughout my day has purpose and can be for God's glory. It can be as a tool. It can be a witness. It can be used for someone else. It can be used as a way for the Lord to teach me. But ultimately, it's just that my life has a purpose. There's not hope just in this life. There is hope for eternal life as well. You know, it's, my faith is not, you know, pointless. It is not futile. It is full of purpose and meaning and depth and the personal relationship, all because Christ is risen and I'm no longer in my sins anymore. I am free. And because of that, I can go forward in that freedom and in that grace and in that mercy. And because of God's love, use the purpose and the will that he has designed for my life to bring him glory. So our lives have purpose because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's something I'm incredibly grateful for, because if not, then I could just end up being like Solomon as he writes Ecclesiastes, that, you know, everything is vanity. Everything's like grasping at the wind, but I have the love of God and I have Christ's resurrection and power over sin and victory, and I can walk in that every single day. And so that's what I've been pondering as what the resurrection means to me this year. God bless you guys.
Amen. Amen. It is not all vanity. There's great meaning. Well, the next speaker is going to be Leah Thurber. And Leah is also part of our women's ministry leadership team. She does a lot of our social media stuff. And I know you'll be blessed as she shares what the resurrection means to her.
Hi guys, I'm Leah Thurber. So what the resurrection means to me, I started this week going through all of the Gospels and comparing the resurrection story, the resurrection account in each of the Gospels, and trying to figure out like what it was specifically that the Lord was trying to show me through his resurrection. Because we all have grace and know that he's the one true God because he is our resurrected God, right? But, you know, trying to think of like what it specifically means to me and how I can, what kind of hope or what kind of message God wants me to receive from his resurrection. And the one account that stood out to me was in John chapter 20. And it was with Mary Magdalene. And so I'm just going to start in verse 15 and read three verses. So it said, Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. I don't know if I said that correctly or not. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." Okay, and what I just immediately started to hear from God was just, he resurrected for me. And what this account shows me was, first of all, that she was the first person to see Jesus resurrected. So he appeared first to her. And Mary had a complicated past. She was a sinner, just like all of us. But what it shows me is that he loved her and he had forgiven her and had redeemed her and revealed himself to her first, not because she did anything special to earn favor with him, but simply because he loved her. And I started to think about, you know, the fact that I tend to worry whether I'm wanted, like if people want me around or want my opinion, and I start to feel like I'm a nuisance. And I realized I started to do it with the Lord as well. Like I have a really hard time just accepting and understanding in my heart that God loves and wants me. He didn't die for the whole world. He also died for me specifically. And he wants me. And so just seeing his, you know, his first resurrected appearance to be with one person who was heartbroken. She had just been standing by the tomb weeping and she feels hopeless. And, you know, she doesn't even recognize Jesus when she first sees him because she's so, probably because she's so distraught. We don't know specifically why she didn't see him. But in my mind, I can think like when I'm, you know, going through something difficult or when I'm just even stressed or overwhelmed, I can often think like, where is God in the middle of this? You know, because sometimes we start to drift and we're not as aware of his presence in our lives because we're the ones that are not taking the time to actually see him and spend time with him. And, you know, just even thinking about like, you know, what's going on right now in our lives. Like if there's this crisis going on, you know, I can often get easily distracted or distract myself with what's going on to the point where he's with me. He is right with me and I can't hear him or I can't see him at work. Just like when she said she thinks he's a gardener. And so she's just talking to him as if he's a gardener until he says her name. And I read a commentary about specifically like this verse and, he was pointing out, I think it was David Guzik, was that Jesus doesn't say who he is. He says who she is to him. And that's what brought me so much peace and encouragement was, she knows who he is, but she didn't know who she was to him. And that's often where I find myself feeling insecure. Like, I know who God is. I know what he's done for me, but to understand who I am to him, that I am loved and I am wanted by my Savior. And so I find this particular passage to be encouraging to me. And, in answering what the resurrection means to me specifically, it means that Jesus wants me and he is with me. And, I am valued and special to him. And, he wants to have this type of encounter with me. He wants to have a personal encounter with me. And I don't want to be Mary when she's distracted or confused or worried, and doesn't recognize him. I want to be able to recognize Jesus when he speaks to me, when he hears me. So, that's what the resurrection means to me. I'm wanted. I'm loved by God.
Isn't it good to know that Jesus not only knows your name, but he calls you by name? Praise the Lord. Well, the next person he's going to share is Justin Eaton. And Justin is on staff here at the church. He's a huge, huge blessing. If something's broken, he's usually working on fixing it. So many of the things you see going on around here are by his hand. He's a blessing to us, and I know he'll be a blessing to you now as he shares what the resurrection means to him.
Hello, church family. I promised some of the other leaders I would keep this super short since they have a few more minutes they needed to say some stuff, and we still want to be able to go home at a decent hour tonight. So, I'll get right to it. What does the resurrection mean to me? In one word, rest. There were two men hanging on the cross next to our Lord, both in the same circumstances, both convicted, both condemned to death. Both could have received him. They had nothing to offer but belief. One chose to believe. One chose to reject. Now, I may not be a convicted felon or one who's condemned to die, but I'm in the exact same situation as them, constantly having to go back and forth wondering, am I good enough? Have I done enough? Have I done what it takes to be a good Christian? Have I earned my salvation? And then I realize I don't have to do that, because he paid on the cross. He paid for everything. All of it. There is no extra work that needs to be done. And I can rest. I don't have to earn anything. It's given freely. And his resurrection proves that everything he said and everything he offers is real. It's just that simple. The one on the cross who accepted him couldn't go do anything afterwards. He died. Yet he died with the promise that he would be with his Lord that day in paradise. And the resurrection proves that he is. The resurrection proves that we will one day meet that sinner in heaven. And I'm in exactly the same place. Everything I do, everything I am, all boils down to that one thing. I can rest in him. Because he proved it. When he rose again, he proved it. He paid when he died on the cross. And when he rose again, he proved that he has the power to offer me rest. And I freely accept it. And I hope you will too. Thanks.
Amen. Rest. Amen. Well, our next speaker is going to be Unique Smith, and Unique serves on our young adult leadership team, and so I know you'll be blessed as she shares what the resurrection means to her.
Hi, my name is Unique Smith, and when I think of the resurrection and what it means to me, I think of three things: fellowship with Christ through the sacrifice that he made, newness of life here on earth, and an eternal inheritance that was secured for us on the cross. If Christ hadn't given his life for the sins of the world, there'd be no way for us to be in communion with him. I look back on my life and all the things that I've done, and I can't begin to imagine what the cost of that amount of sin would be. To just keep track of all the times that I've slipped or stumbled would be impossible, let alone try to make amends for their impact in a way that would be remotely pleasing to God. But Jesus did the impossible. He not only got on a cross for me, but for each and every single person who's ever lived and every single one of their sins. It's because of that sacrifice that I'm able to know God as my personal Savior. I'm reminded of this and the gravity of what he did in Philippians 3:10, which says, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Not only did he make a way for us to come to him, but he promises to make us new and prepare a place for us to be with him in heaven. In John 11:25-26, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, shall he live, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? To that, I say, yes, I believe this. At times, I'm shocked and in awe at his grace and his love, but I believe this with my whole heart because all of his promises are true, and he's shown up way too many times in my life for me to ever doubt him. Even in trying times like this, when there's so much uncertainty and fear and pain going on in the world, I'm still at peace because I know what Jesus did for me on the cross. I know that that secured my citizenship in heaven, and I don't have to live in fear, because I know that the best and most fulfilling life here on earth will pale in comparison to what one day with him is going to be like. In 1 Peter 1:3, he says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, have begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven. Now that is what I'm holding on to. That's what I'm putting my confidence in. Not in a cure for the virus, not in staying 6 feet away from anybody that passes by or wearing a mask or gloves every time I leave my house, but in being able to one day stand at his feet and be in his presence. It's that fellowship, that redemption, and that assurance. That's what the resurrection means to me.
Amen, amen. Preach it. So good truths, good truths. The next person is going to share is Ron Honda. And Ron leads our Over 50 Singles ministry, but at the same time, Ron does about 80,000 other things around here. If something's getting done, Ron probably has a hand in it. So he's one of our leaders here. He's been in leadership here for a long time, and I know you'll be blessed as he shares what the resurrection means to him.
Hello, church. And thank you, Pastor Will, for this opportunity to say what the resurrection means to me. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no Christian faith. It's just another false religion. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 19, Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we witness against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hope in Christ in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. What Paul is saying is that we can know Christianity is real because the resurrection is real. He makes the following points. If Christ is not risen, the Christian faith is worthless. If Christ is not whom he said he was, he would have been a liar. All the witnesses to the resurrection are also liars for testifying to something that did not occur. Jesus would not have been a true prophet had he not come back from the dead as he predicted that he would. The resurrection demonstrates that Jesus is the Son of God. Without the resurrection, there is no forgiveness for sin. If Jesus did not come back from the dead, then his ministry would have ended in defeat, and there would be no Christianity. Simply stated, no resurrection, no Christianity. So what the resurrection means to me is that Christianity is the real deal. I was seeking truth for most of my life. So if the resurrection is true, then Christianity is true. I did not become a born-again believer until I was 44 years old. Up until that time, I was searching for truth about God and the meaning of life. I was not raised in a Christian home. However, I went to Sunday school as a child, and I loved it. It implanted in me a basic belief that Jesus loved me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. During my teenage years, I got this idea of all I needed was to be a good person, get a good education, work hard, and I'll be happy. I started to seek spiritual truth when I got out of college. I searched a lot of different things. The biggest influence in my life was the media, magazines, TV, movies, so forth. You just needed to be young and rich. You can have it all. I tried Eastern religions, mainly Buddhism, yoga, and meditation. I was into the New Age religions also. Nothing worked. Everything left this emptiness in my life. All I really wanted to know is what I learned back in Sunday school really true. Is the Bible the truth? Well, by faith, I was saved at an evangelical outreach in March 1993. At that time, I felt Jesus speaking directly to me with open arms. He was saying, "Ron, you have been searching all your life. What are you waiting for? You know I am the way." I didn't know it at the time, but I was hearing John 14:6. Therefore, what the resurrection means to me is the proof that Christianity is true. It is what I have been seeking all my life. Jesus is who he said he is. Therefore, it means to me that I can count on the promises of God. It is the truth. I am not being deceived nor given false hope. And that's all I wanted to know. That's what the resurrection means to me. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. I'm so glad we got to hear Ron's testimony. Well, our final speaker this evening serves in our high school ministry as well as on our worship team. His name is Nathan Bowman, and I know you'll be blessed as he shares what the resurrection means to him.
Hey, church, what does the resurrection mean to me? The resurrection means everything to me. But specifically this year, as I think about Jesus' resurrection, I'm thankful for the fact that I have no reason to fear. I have no reason to fear tomorrow or the future or the uncertainty of the future, because he holds my future. And I think of the scripture that says, "I have overcome the world." And, you know, whatever tribulation or whatever trial I might face in this life, I know that he's overcome, and I know that he's fighting for me. And I know that he's gone to prepare a place for me that's far better than any place I have here on earth. So I'm thankful for the hope I have for the future, and that it's a hope that, you know, 1 Peter says it's unfading, it never passes away. And I'm thankful for the fact that I don't have to live in fear or regret of the past. I've made a lot of mistakes in my past. I have a very sin-filled past, but Jesus took care of all that. So I don't have to fear judgment. I don't have to fear condemnation. So to have that burden lifted is such great hope, such great peace, such great joy. And I'm thankful for the fact that I can have everlasting joy because of his resurrection, because of his victory. And I'm thankful that that joy lasts through any of the trials that I face in this life, that I have an anchor that I can hold on to that will not fail. And this world can't offer anything like that. This world can't offer that same joy, that same everlasting hope. It's so temporary, but the hope I have in Jesus is eternal. So I'm thankful for the resurrection this morning because I have no reason to fear. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I can face whatever comes my way in faith and confidence because my Savior lives and he lives to fight for me. God bless you.
Amen. Wasn't that a huge blessing? You know, one of the things I was excited about with this, even though I wasn't excited about the fact that we couldn't be together, is that it normally we don't have leaders share. We like to have people from the congregation. And I thought it was an opportunity for me to be able to give you guys to see what special people you have that serve here at Calvary Chapel Orlando. I am so blessed and privileged to be able to serve side by side with them. I know there's many who didn't share who serve here as well, and they all have wonderful testimonies too. But I hope you see the power of the resurrection in working in the lives of these 14 individuals. He's working in your life as well. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll worship, and then we'll call it an evening. So, Lord, we thank you for the changed lives that we heard from tonight, Lord, from lives who, you know, have been walking with you from their childhood to those who came to you later in life. All are testimonies of your grace, of your mercy, of your goodness, and of your love. We thank you that you are a risen Lord, a risen Savior, that we don't ever have to wonder if our prayers aren't hitting the sky, if they're bouncing off the roof, or if they're just going into empty air. You are hearing, you are listening, you're responding, and you are interceding for us. And we love you for that. And we long for the day when we'll see you face to face. And we can say thank you face to face. Or we can, like Thomas and the disciples, we can touch you, Lord. Or we can handle you, like John said, in that sense where we can be with you. So, Lord, we pray you come back soon. And in the meantime, we pray you'd be merciful to us, Lord. We pray that you would rescue us from this horrible virus, Lord, and that you would bring us back together again soon. We pray that no one else would die, God. We pray that you would curb this thing. Again, not because we deserve it, but because, Lord, we need help. We need your mercy and we need your grace. Bless every dear family who's watching tonight, every individual. In Jesus' name, amen.